Okay, so we're on Daf Mem tonight. We're on Sota, page 48, page 79. Sota, Daf Mem. And the Siyum is only is a week from Wednesday night. 9 days from tonight is the Siyum. All right, so the Gemara is in the middle of a discussion about Birchat Kohanim. We said that the connection was, the Mishnah said that Birchat Kohanim has to be in Lashon Kodesh, has to be in Hebrew. And then the Gemara got into a discussion, what should the people say, the congregation say, when the Duchening is going on? And the Gemara had quoted, there are different psukim, depending on when the Kohanim are duchening, that the people should recite. So on the top line, on Mem Amud Aleph, V'ne'ila diyomati dekipuri mayamor. What should one say in Ne'ila, on Yom Kippur, when the Kohanim are duchening, what should one say? So Amar Bar Zutra said, V'amri lam anita tan of the Bachaz. Others say it was in a Braisa, it's going to quote three psukim. So we have three psukim in Birchat Kohanim, and the Gemara is going to quote three psukim that the people should recite. In other words, that a person would be blessed if he's a Yirei Hashem. Line three on Mem Amud Aleph. He should bless you from Sion, and you should see the goodness of Yerushalayim all the days of your life. Nice bracha. And you should see your children's children, Shalom Yisrael. So now, that's the end, really, of a series of psukim that the Gemara has mentioned. So the Gemara says, Heichan Omran, where, if the person is in the congregation, at which point does he recite these psukim? So Rabbi Yosef Amar, being called Bracha Ubracha. Rabbi Yosef says, in other words, there are three psukim in Birchas Kohanim. So between each Bracha, like the Kohanim will say, Bracha Shem Yishmerecha, and then we'll see what you should say, but you'll say something, and then the same thing, the next one. Rav Sheshit Amar, Bahaz Karet Hashem. Rav Sheshit says, you should say the psukim when he says, when the Kohanim mentioned the Shem Hashem. So we'll see in a minute. So, Pligibar Rabari, Rav Zvid. So Gemara says, it's a machloket between Rabari and Rav Zvid. Chanamar Psuka Lakavel Psuka. This seems to go better with the idea that you would recite the break after the Pasuk. So the first opinion is saying, the Kohanim say one Pasuk, Yibarech Hashem Yishmerecha, and then the congregation, if it's, you know, would respond with one Pasuk, depends on which day, but if it's Yom Kippur with the Ila, so the congregation would say, Yishayin Yibarech Abi Re Hashem. And then the Kohanim will say, Yayar Hashem Paneh B'lecha B'kunecha, and the congregation is the next Pasuk. The Chanamar, the other opinion says, after each Pasuk, the congregation says all three. So it comes out that according to the second opinion, you have three Pesukim, so you'd end up saying nine Pesukim in Birchas Kohanim. So they'd say Bracha Shemecha, you say three Pesukim, and then the same thing next time, the same thing next time. So, Amar Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Bula Omran, Begvulin, Eina Lator. So Reb Chiya Bar Abba, and we know Reb Chiya Bar Abba was the Talmid of Reb Yochanan. Remember the Gemara Brachot said every 30 days he would chazer all his learning. And we'll have more about Reb Chiya Bar Abba later on our daf. He says, if you say them outside the Beis HaMikdash, you say these psukim outside the Beis HaMikdash, you're making a big mistake. He says, Amar Reb Chanina Bar Papa, Reb Chanina Bar Papa says, Teda, if Mikdash Nami Lomi Bayi Lomibayi. So Reb Papa says, or Reb Chanina Bar Papa says that you should know that even the Beis HaMikdash, you shouldn't recite it. So, not coming out too well. He says, why? Is it appropriate to have an Eved, a servant, that you're giving a bracha, and he, while you're giving a bracha, he's talking, right? But he's not listening to the bracha. So let's see. So Amar of Acha Bar Chanina, Rav Acha Bar Chanina says, So Rav Acha Bar Chanina says the opposite. He says, you should know that outside the basic mikdash, you also need to recite it. You have a servant who's not gracious, someone who doesn't graciously accept the bracha and show that he's so grateful for the bracha. So it comes out, we have a couple of different opinions with this whole thing now. So according to one opinion, you shouldn't recite it in the basic mikdash or in Gvulin, you recite it nowhere. That's one opinion. And then, according to the first opinion, you should only recite it in the Beis HaMikdash. So the first opinion, you only say the psukim in the Beis HaMikdash, but outside not. And then Reb Chanina Bar Papa says even the Beis HaMikdash should recite it. And then the last opinion, Rav Acha Bar Chanina says that you need to say it in both places. very confusing. So he says, okay, now, I'm Rabbi Abau. Rabbi Abau says, Meresh hav amin lehu. Initially, I would say these two things, he says. Came in the chazinu later of Abba ben Akko, lo amar lehu. Once I saw Rabbi Abba ben Akko, who did not recite it, ananami lo amin lehu. So I didn't say it either. All right, let's take a look at Rashi. One Rashi will do. The first hour line. But ain't no masbir panim la rochev yirchat rabo chashuva lo ba'areva lav. In other words, that he doesn't. In other words, a person should demonstrate that the bracha of his master is important to him and pleasing to him. B'tigamael la rabo alabakat, and his master will reward him even for that even more. So that he's showing like. He's like a menschlich. He's receiving the brachot in the proper fashion. Okay, now let's see what the halakha has to say about this. Let's see, Aleph. We have psukim kuf kuf bet kuf av. So we have psukim in the siddur birchas kohanim, and I brought a siddur up with me.
What do you say?
What we don't say. We don't say anything. No. We don't say.
What's all that singing for?
Okay, we'll explain shortly. Let us all be patient. Okay, so. All right, so the Mechaber says like this: B'shashem b'varchim, when the Kohanim give a bracha, ein lamor shum pasuk. Nobody should say any pasukim. He says, and Mishnah Berurah says, b'kumi yeshevet shabarcha tova ein amaz. In other words, we're machria like that last opinion. He says, el yishtakuvi yafabdul the bracha. They should be quiet and focus on the bracha. Haga, he says, nevertheless, the Ramah says, k'mi komachom. Now the Kohanim go on a lot with singing. The Minhag the Rama says to also say the Psukim. But the Rama says the best practice is not to say it. That's what the Rama says. And then the Mishpura says, and that's what the Akronim say. Now, he has more to say about this. Okay, and he says, especially, the Mishpura says, say it loudly is worse. You shouldn't do that. Okay, now, so.
You don't say anything?
So the Psukim you should not say.
No.
Okay, right. So the Siddurim and the Siddur. But it doesn't say you should recite it, right?
Why would you have it?
In other words, you could look at it.
Have it.
You know, you could look at it, be becoming for them, but you shouldn't say anything. Okay, let's see what our school says with the book in it. One second. Right. So he has the psukim here.
The one we had in the Gemara?
Not the ones we did tonight. He says, let me see. He has the ones I mentioned earlier. The Gemara did mention earlier, Yibrecha Shemitzion, they have that. And he's got some other psukim. So, the article says, Yeshua Mishim Lav Sik, Shum Pasuk, Shat Nasiyah Kamash. Some say you shouldn't in any way interrupt. Eilu Shino Gilmar Psukim, Moshe Yir Shabbasi Gurim. But the people who have the minhag to say it, we saw the Ramah said, you could say it, but better not to. Yizarula Omra B'shasha Chazan Makrit Nea Kohenim, Lobay Shekonim Mavarchim. He says you should say it when the chazan is makri, it was not when the kohenim were giving the bracha. When the chazan, and it was say the pasuk when the chazan says yivarechecha, then do it. Not when the kohenim are saying. And Mishnah Berurah brings that down as well. He says v'kapu magen abrava taz the omran yomar b'shasha shlitzibur makri l'fnei kohenim. So that's like the magen abrava the taz. If you're saying it, you should say it not when the kohenim are giving the bracha, but when the chazan is makri. The Eliyahu Rabba Megam Kim Gambazet. The Eliyahu Rabba, he's questioning even that. I ain't Sham, but Chimin Higa Grosh Lul Amra. The Gra also, you know, conducted himself not to say this. So the better, I heard someone say that you should think about them. I don't know. Doesn't say anybody's saying, thinking about it, but the better practice is not to say. Okay, here's up two. So the thing is that there's
a. You don't have that thing.
Well, we do. There's a tefillah, so the Gemara learns in brachot that if a person has a dream, and he doesn't know what the import of the dream is, so he should get up when the Kohanim are duchening and say this tefillah. That's what the Gemara says. So when the Kohanim are singing, so we say this Ribono Shel Olam. In other words, so the way the Ashkenazim do it is the Kohanim sing if it's not on a Shabbos. If it's on a Shabbos, they don't sing because we don't make tchinot on Shabbat. So if, let's say, we only do it on Yom Tov anyway. Let's say you have a Yom Tov on a Thursday or a Friday. So then the Kohanim would sing on Thursday and Friday. And then while they're singing, so everybody says Ribono Shel Olam. Now, the post can bring down if a person, the thing, you have to have some dreams to last the Yom Tov. So the first day, you definitely said Ribono Shel Olam. The second day, so there are poskim who I've seen who they say if you didn't have a dream the previous night, then not to say it. But the thing is, the Ribono Shel Olam to say, and then we say the Ribono Shel Olam three times for each of the three brachot, and then each one we end up
you
with.
You say the Ribono Shel Olam three times?
Three times. In other words, once each after each bracha. In other words, the Yishmerecha, then they're singing, we say the Ribono Shel Olam. Then we do it again. Though some people say it twice, and the third time is a different tefillah to say, it's a longer tefillah. Say like that.
When did you finish that whole thing?
Well, they have to sing a long time in order to do it. I actually do the Ribono Shel Olam piece. But then the Ribono Shel Olam ends up with three words, the Tishmarini, Tifanini, Tirtzaini. So the post can bring down that after the first bracha, the Yishmerecha, you should end up with Tishmarini. After the second bracha, Bitunecha, you should say Utifanini. And after the third bracha, Bitunecha Shalom, you should say Tirtzaini. Nothing that you can't handle. Anyway, the idea is, well, the Gemara, it's from this on the Gemara. The Gemara says that I'm sure that you must have something like that.
If you have bad dream, you have to stay the next day.
Here, you're right. That's where you're headed. Here, wait a minute. So the Makaber has this halakha. He says, one minute. That's it. This is a different Mishnah Berurah, 1 second. Let's see. Yeah. So in Siman Kuf Lamed, the Mechaber says, "Man the Chaza Chelma, Lo Yada My Chaza, Nekim Kamei Kani B'Shasha Ulam Dukan V'Nei Mahachi." You should say the Tefillah. That's what the Mechaber says. Okay. So, but
we don't wait 6 months to say it.
Okay. Well, that's because you're dukaning all the time. Okay. Right.
They do every day, three times a day, a week, or every day.
No. They, as far as I know, they do it at chakras every day, right? They do it chakras every day.
Sfarad.
Oh, Nusach Sfarad. Oh, I don't think they do.
No, they don't.
They're still Ashkenazim. Yeah. When you scratch it deep down, really. Okay, well, what do you want to say, Aaron Moshe? What? I can't hear you.
Nusach Sfarad is the same as us.
Right. That's what we said. Okay.
So we do say the Ribono and we don't say the Psukim.
That's correct.
Right.
Let me just see. 1 second. Let me see. One second.
I thought there was machloket whether we said the Ribono also.
I don't think so. So in the Beir Halachi he says like this. If you didn't have a dream the night before, you shouldn't say this. He says, but today we don't do Yantin. In other words, Ashkenazim, the first day, I said the first day Yantin. We only say it on the Yantin. But I am asking the shekel. So he quotes the Matzah Shekel, says that for Ashkenazim on the second day of Yantiv, if you didn't have a dream the night before, he says not to say it. He says, but the Olam is not knowing this way. We say it both days, even if you didn't have a dream the night before. But Efshar. Maybe they're concerned that other people had a dream about me. So I don't know what they dreamt. He says, but according to that, you shouldn't say, That's with the way the Bayer Halacha says. Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. All right, let's take a look. All right, now we're around 15 lines down in the Gemara, where it says Ba'amar Rabbi Abahu. Ba'amar around 8 lines below the Aleph. Ba'amar Rabbi Abahu may reish habamina b'tana ana. Rabbi said, initially I thought I'm a big ana. I'm very humble. Came in the chazina le Rabbi Abba de Manako. But when I saw Rabbi Abba from Akko, and he's the one who you just quoted before. In other words, he said that he saw Rabbi Abba from Akko.
Not saying those psukim,
so he stopped saying it. So he said, but I saw Rabbi Abba from Akko, the Amar Ihu Chad Tama, the Amar Ihu Chad Tama, a little copy. So I saw Rabbi Abba, like, Bizvana Chazal, when the Chachamim would be giving a shir, like to the people. Or so they would have an Amora next. An Amora has a lot of different definitions. This Amora means like a spokesman, like in other words, the Chacham would say over a Shtickle Torah, and the Amora would say very loud and elaborate on it, you know, like to explain to people. Yes. Like, let's say he'd say, you know, and like in the Chidushe Reb Chaim, then he'd say it loudly, and he knows the Chidushe Reb Chaim said out loud. But he, when he was giving the Shir Rabbi Abba Manako, he said one svar, he was going to go halacha. He said, "What is far for the halakha?" He says, "V'amar amori chatama," and the amori says something different. The difference is not what I said. He says, "V'lo pakapid," and he wasn't makpid. You know, like whose shear is this? What's going on? But he wasn't makpid. He says, "Amina alavin betana." I said, "No, I'm not anav. He's big anav. He's got this amora speaking, and the amora is kind of doing his own little sort of thing here." Now, if you look at Rashi, the fourth narrow line. Amore hamet targim the rabbi mashu lofeshto b'shar hadrasha. He targim is like translate, elaborate on what the chacham is like whispering to them. So the Gemara says, back in the Gemara, ubay im b'tanu tei the Rabbi Abahu. What was the tremendous humility of Rabbi Abahu? He thought that he was an anav, but then this Rabbi Abba Pranako was more of an anav. He says the amrla the b'tu. It's interesting. He's going to relate an incident. It also deals with the Samara. He says, the Amrla debitu de Amore to Rabbi Abahu, debitu to Rabbi Abahu. It's like the wives are having a conversation. So Rabbi Abahu's, you know, giving Shirim, and he has his Amora, that's like his spokesman, you know, like the Matar game. And the two wives, it's like sort of like the two Rebbetzins. So the wife of the Amora is talking to the wife of Rabbi Abahu. He says, and she says to him, Hadzdan Sorek Lilodach. My husband doesn't really even need your husband. In other words, he's got his own Torah to say. And the fact that during the Shir, he bends down, you know, to, you know, listen to what Rabbi Bahu is saying, and then he stands up straight. He says, he's just out of Kavo that he's doing it. But really, he doesn't even need Rabbi Bahu. So he says, Azal debitu ba'amrle the Rabbi Bahu. I don't know why she did this, but the Rabbi Bahu's wife went and told Rabbi Abahu. So he says, Amar la. So listen to this. Rabbi Abahu said to her, Umay naf lichmina. Why do you care about this? He says, Mini mina yikali sila. Like, Benkach, between me and the Samara, so the Shem Shemayim is praise. In other words, the Torah is getting out.
Same goal.
And everything. You know, I tell you what came to my mind. There's a story about the Chafetz Chaim. You know, in the Kol Kepei Chafetz Chaim, He had one son, Reb Aryeh. When he wrote the Mishnah Berurah, so his son helped him write the Mishnah Berurah, and the son writes what? I don't know. And his son writes Reb Aryeh. I remember was the son. So the Aryeh says that sometimes they would spend weeks on one siman. So he says like there's one siman in Hilchot Tefillin. I think it's like two lines, and they spent like 3 weeks. Just it doesn't look like a lot, but it's 3 weeks going through the sugya and just to write it. So then he says to his father, Dad, do you think anybody's going to realize how many weeks we spent working on this whole thing? So his father turns to him and says, you know, what difference does that make? You know, and that's really like a real siman of godless. In other words, the ikar is that the Torah is going out, people have the Torah. And that's really what the Gemara is saying over here. So Rabbi Bahu was a big anav that he said, Bimini Menach is going out. But Rabbi Abinako, the Gemara was saying something different to what he's saying, and he wasn't locked in. Right.
Change things.
Yeah. Well, they had a Hezber in the R scroll. The way they sit in the R scroll. Let me read. They had a sort of way to kind of like kind of brush it over a little bit. Right. He says. Yeah. He says. So he says here, this is in footnote 8. The Maharsha asserts that if the speaker had substituted an improper explanation, Rabbi Abba would not have allowed his propagation in his name. Rather, the speaker substituted an explanation that matched or even surpassed Rabbi Abba's. So, and although he deliberately in front of Rabbi Abba, implicitly suggesting he should be the one lecturing, Rabbi Abba humbly let the matter pass. So, he did give a good Hezber, and it was a kosher Hezber, but, you know, he was vocal on it. Okay, I'm moving on to this. Anybody's got any thoughts? What's up?
Why did the wife tell him what she heard?
That I don't know. I don't know.
What did he learn from
the woman? You got to ask the woman.
Yosef was saying we should ask the women in this department.
I was going to say, it took the woman on Zoom.
The woman on Zoom has the question.
Yeah, but we have a whole collection of women on Zoom. Anyway, let me see if it says anything about what the wife. I don't know why she said that.
It took the Chofetz Chaim 26 years to write the Mishnah Berurah.
Right.
Arya Leib used to write, I have a sefer here where he writes, the Chofetz Chaim used to say, let's get over eating so we can get back to do what we have to do.
All right. Okay, I'm going to move forward. Are everybody with me? Okay. You know, you could be, if you want to be done, suppose for the wife of Rabbi Abahu, maybe she felt that...
Let him go on his own.
That, you know, that...
The loyalty.
Maybe there's something, you know, not appropriate that's taking place or something like that. I don't know. Okay, now let's take further in the Gemara. It says, but to Rabbi Abahu, now the Gemara relates another incident with Rabbi Abahu. He says, in the Rabbana lay the Mimni Eberesha, the Chamim got together, Rabbi Abahu was in the Eretz Israel, Chamim got together with the view to appoint him to be the Rosh Hashiva. He's going to be the Rosh Hashiva. Came to the Chazi of Rabbi Abba ben Akko, the Deficient Lay Balei Kovo, but he saw Rabbi Abba ben Akko, that was the humble person that he learned from with Duchening, that he had a lot of creditors, in other words, he was in debt to a lot of people. Amar Lahu, see Rabbi Bahu said to the Chachamim, Ikarabo, there's somebody greater than me. In other words, appoint him. With a view that if they appoint him, it'll take him out of his, you know, financial straits. So if you look at the Rashi around the 20th hour line, higher than where we are, go Idlan Rabba, Chacham Gadol, Ruile Shefer Rosh Yoteri Meni. There's somebody more fitting to be appointed than me. It's Rabbi Abba of Monaco. So he wanted them to appoint Rabbi Abba, but no nimlo manot. They would give him like gifts. Umashiranoto, they would enrich him. He says, "Kadeshe chashuv bishmu dvarav." In other words, like it's like, you know, fiddler on the roof. When you're rich, they think you really know. And it was like, in other words, make him like the kasha person. Kidatania v'hakoyin gadol meyatav. So it's just the coin gadol. This is just last week's parshat Shavua. I think Rabbi Leibowitz had mentioned that in his shir, that it comes up, I think, later on in there, more of a theory you have it as well. In other words, he said, he's greater than brothers, but he should be elevated from his brethren Konim, who are going to give him things, so he'll be elevated, so he'll be wealthy. So he wanted him to be in better shape, which is very generous. Now, one more story. Everybody looking at the Rabbi Abahu, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. So now we're going to Rabbi Abahu and Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. So Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, we had earlier, he was the one who says you shouldn't say the psukim outside anywhere. You shouldn't say the psukim anywhere. And Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, I mentioned, was a Talmud Rabbi Yochanan. Every 30 days he would have positive learning with him. So Iklau Lahu Atra, they both came to a certain locality. Rabbi Abahu Darash Bagadata, Rabbi Abahu gave a drasha in Agadata, like stories, things like that. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Darash Rishmaitu. Chiya bar Abba, he gave a lamdas Hashir in Halakha. So, Shabku Kuli Abba, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Ba'azul Gabi, Rabbi Abahu. So, everybody, they didn't want to hear the stark Shir, they wanted to hear the nice story Shir. It says, Talish Daite. So, Rabbi Abahu felt Shvach, he says, excuse me, Rabbi Chibar Abba spells Shva. So in order to make him feel better, Rabbi Abba told the following story. I'm going to give you a mashal, what is it similar to? This is right up your alley, Rafi. One person sold precious stones, let's say like diamond, the diamond merchant. And one sells houseware. Rashi says, Sitkin, claim lakot nashim, baniyim, like women and poor people, don't plachim, makatim, it's in orot. Like the pelak is like the item that you use when you're weaving, and machin sinora, the needles, pins and needles. Almi kofs, in other words, one's got the bargain basement, home
knowledge base.
Homeware you sell. The other's got, he's got the diamonds. One minute. Almi kofs, in who does everybody run to? They run to the person who's got like the cheap stuff. So he wanted to say, like, I was very self-effacing. I just gave a drasha on God. If it came to me, you're not. So Kol Yoma, Habamalava Rabbi Chibar Abba, Rabbi Yabahu, Arush Pizek. So normally, Rabbi Chibar Abba would escort Rabbi Yabahu to his lodging place. In other words, because Rashi points out, Rabbi Yabahu was in close with the Roman government. He was like the go-between between the Jewish people and the Roman government. So out of kavod for him, walking to his house. He should be carried to Beit Kesar. But in that day when nobody came to Bashir, Alvin Rabbi Yabahu, the Rabbi Chibar Abba. So Rabbi Yabahu was one who gave the Agadah to Shir, escorted Rabbi Chibar Abba out of Shizay. Rabbi Hachi, though he told him to die, take a day. And even with all of that, Rabbi Chibar Abba was not appeased. So Rabbi Liba was quoting the Shir, he was quoting from the Bach. The Bach says that these Shirim were given on Shabbos, and then on Shabbos, you're supposed to give a drush in the halakha, not a Agadah. So he was giving like the right shear. He was doing halakha, so he wasn't happy that with the way that was going. Now the only thing is, let me see. He then said something also about the mashal. What's that? Was it? Right. So mashal. So. All right. Let me do it. Okay. What? Yeah, but but it's there's a difference. Okay, now, all right, let's go further with Gemara. Okay, now, on the first medium wide line, I'm Emma Madalev. So we spoke about duchening. Now the Gemara is talking about a different part of the Chazar Tishbat when the Shliach Tzibur says the bracha of modim. We're getting to the topic of modim derabanan. So what do people say when the Shliach Tzibur is reciting modim? What do the people say? So Amar Rav, so Rav says they should say, modim anachnu lach Hashem Elokeinu. We thank you, Hashem. And there's a piece from Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner in the Pakhan Yitzchak that says, the word hoda'a means to admit, to thank and to admit. Because when you thank somebody, you're also admitting that you need them. In other words, like sometimes people don't want to thank people because they don't want to say, like, I needed you. And right. So a type of hodah. So modim anach lach Hashem Elokeinu, we thank you, al sha'anu modim lach, that we thank you. So what does this mean? So if you look at Rashi, first, he quoted one shot from the Rimi Gash. He wanted to say that we thank you above and beyond what we normally we thank you with a tefillah for. That's the way the Rebbe Gash learned it. So modim anach lach, we thank you, al sha'anu modim lach. In other words, in addition to what we said in the tefillah, we thank you in addition, we have other things. But Rashi learns, let's see Rashi, he says, al sha'anu modim lach, al sha'atatim bin liyot devukim b'cha modim b'cha. That we thank you, that we feel close enough to you to thank you. In other words, we thank you, we put from the Rosh, like we thank you, we have close relationship with you. Now, on the second, and now there's an idea that the artist reported from the Avodram and Rabbi Liebenstein as well. He wanted to say like this: like why do we have to say anything? Like in other words, in the Chazaras Hashatz, normally we just listen to Chazaras Hashatz. Why are we singing Bracha Modim? So the Avodram says that when it comes to the thanks, so only the person himself has to say the thanks. When the person himself, when you're thanking somebody, you can't have a shliach to say thank you. You have to do the thank you yourself. Okay, wait, hold 2 minutes. Wait, I'll pause it another 5 minutes, okay? So let's see back in the Gemara. So the second meeting went by. He says, Ushmuel Amar, Elokei Kubasara Hashem Morulah. So Shmuel, each one is adding on to the previous opinion. So this is similar to, not exactly like, but pretty similar to what we say in our Tilo. Let me get the Siddur open, which I brought up for this reason. So this is Bodim Drabana. So, okay, so the first one was Hashem Elokeinu, right? Now, Shmuel says Elokei Kubasar, which is the next phrase. Elokei Kubasar, Al-Shanamodimah is the end of it. Reb Simai Omer, Yotzreinu Yotzer Breshit Al-Shanamodimah. It means, when it says Yotzreinu Yotzer Breshit, means in addition to the foregoing, you said that Yotzreinu, our creator, the creator of Breshit, like the one who created everything in the beginning, we thank you, Al-Shanamodimah. Neherdoi Amri, Mishmeh, Reb Simai, Rachot Vod L'Shmachad Gol, Al-Shanam Kiyamtanu, Al-Shanamodimah. Like blessings and thanks to your great name, that you've sustained us, you've given us life and sustained us. Asha Anamodimlach, we thank you that we thank you. Rabbah Bar Yaakov Asayim Ba'ahafi, Kent Chayenu Tuchwanenu, Tkabsenu. So we don't exactly say this. We have Kent Chayenu Tkanenu. We don't have, at least we're Ashkenazim, Utuchwanenu, show grace on us. It says, Sov Gautinu Chatzur Kachecha, Shwok Kecha Osor Senecha B'Bav Shleim, Asha Anamodimlach. So Amra Papa, Hilchach Neiminu Lepulis. So Papa says, you know, they're all nice, and we're going to say all of them. That's for Papa. So Rabbi Levus is mentioning, he was quoting someone, it might have been the Shlai, I don't remember. He said, like, at a Siyam, which we're coming up to another 9 days, so we mentioned about the 10 sons of Rabbi Papa, and that they all received smicha. So why do we mention the 10 sons of Rabbi Papa? So he says that Rabbi Papa was, you know, machshiv all the Tamid Chacham so much. And he's not just here, like, a number of sugyas. Rav Papa says, Hilchach Neiminu, what is Neiminu, what does he say? Neiminu the Kulu. Like the Gemara has it in Brachot, I think, by the Bureau of Hosea Geshem. In several places, the Gemara, where Rav Papa says, we're going to say all the things. So therefore, he was Zoche to have sons with Tamid Chachamim, because he was Machshiv the Chachamim so much. Okay, one second. Okay, let me pause for a few minutes to take some questions. Time's up. Go ahead.
Yeah, we've been learning with Professor Shetland about Modi. He said,
here's what the Gemara says. All I can say is Bavli says differently than what he said. I'm sure he's got a source. I'm sure he's got a source for it, but the Bavli says a little different. Okay, let's take a look back at the Gemara. Okay, now we're on the fourth wide line on Mem Baralim. A person should always have the fear of the tzibur on him. So in other words, the konim, the mitzvah is face the am. You have to be parted upon him, but lechora, the back to the aron, it looks like in other words, it looks like they're giving, you know, they're concerned about the Kabbalah of the Sibur. That's the way it looks like. So the Kabbalah of the Sibur always has to be, you know, front and center. He says, in other words, Enoch and Aaron is another Rishus. In other words, it's Rishus to itself. But the idea is you have to show Kabbalah of the Sibur. But Nachman Amar Mehakar. Nachman says from the following Pasuk, by Yaakov Amelch David al Raglav. So this is David Amelch is seeking contributions for the Beis HaMikdash. So he stands up. Listen to me, my brothers and my people. Why does he have two terms to address them? My brethren or my people? What is it? So Amr Blazar. Now, the emes is the Marsha says the Rai is from the beginning of the pasuk. But Yaakov Melech David Alaklav. The Melech gets up and stands because he's addressing the people. That's the way the Marsha understands group in the Gemara. But the Gemara says Amr Blazar, Amar Lahim David Israel. David said to Klal Israel, Imatem Shomingly. If you listen to my appeal, you're my brethren. Meaning, he's mashpil himself. And that's the proof, according to the way Rashi learns. If you look at Rashi, 10 lines to the bottom. If atem shomim leliot shleimim lemakom, achai b'chavi rayatem. Am ha-melech emat tzibur lav, im shirim. And he's a melech. But he's saying, achai, you know, my brethren. So it's self-effacing. beam three lines to the bottom, beam lav amiatem. Otherwise, you're not going to answer this appeal. Then you're my people, and Rabbani wrote dead from Barakel. Means literally, I'm going to beat you with a stick. It means I'm going to come after you. But you know, I think every shul president would like to have the power to get the raise money. Now, Rabbanan Amri Mehatha, the Chum is saying, again, we're trying to bring a proof that a person should be concerned for the Eimat Sibur. He says, now here the Bach has the word Ditan Rabbanan. Ditan Rabbanan, Eina Konim Rashim Lalot Nisan Deleim Dukan. He says, Konim are not allowed to walk up with their shoes. The Dukan is the platform on the Dukan, like we say Dukan. He says, you saw him see Dukan, and then he turn. Yeah. He says, this is one of nine enactments that Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai enacted. So my Tama, what's the reason for that enactment? So where is Islamish Kavod Tzibur? Is it not because of Kavod Tzibur? Meaning, if you look at Rashi, eight lines at the bottom, Lamishum Imat Tzibura, Lishum Istalkim Begadav Hasim Lamira Tobad Bat Gadav, the nearing son of Lamishum Tzibur. In other words, when a person, the Konim, go to Dukkan, they raise their hands and they're wearing like a gown or whatever, listening up, the whole garment lifts up a little bit off the floor. He says, the nearing son to Lab the Seaboard. Now everybody suddenly sees the shoes. They've been seeing the shoes before. But he named Ruin Leroot, they titch a land, they butt on them, things like that. So we think that the reason the Gemara thinks the initial reason that they can't go with the Santa Land is because of this reason that when they would lift their hands, they see the shoes not covered with the Seaboard. That would be a proof if that's true.
You're so not supposed to look at
it. Hold it. Remember, wait 2 minutes. Now, he says, 2 lines to the bottom. I'm Ravashi. Lo. Ravashi says, no, that's not the case. Hatam shemaniskal of the tsubasandalo. Bahada azulunikare. He says, no, the reason is an unauthorized with shoes. We're afraid that a shoe strap will break and he'll, you know, be busy tying it, you know, and he won't be dukening because everybody's dukening. But Amri ben Gusha ben Chalutu, when people say, the reason they dukan, he's pasul, he's ben Gusha ben Chalutu. So the MS is, Rabbi Liebowitz said, we really hold they're both reasons why we don't do Tzorkin. And right, Kabbalah Perceiver and the Shema Nefsika. But you can't prove, it's not Mukhras that's the first one, so that's what the Gemara moved away from it. He said that the Syrian congregations that the Konim Dukhan with shoes? Yeah, they're with shoes. He said that somebody asked him, he's an Ashkenazi, and he was in a Syrian shul, and it was also not a yontiv, and the person was asking, A, should he Dukhan, and what should he do with the shoes? Yeah, so he definitely asked Dukhan, and then with the shoes, I'm not so clear on what he said to him. I thought he was saying, I don't know, I don't want to say anything.
Otherwise, right. Dukhan, otherwise he has to go out.
Right, he's got a Dukhan.
So is the Ben
Grusha
the Ben...
Hold it. Rafi asked the question. He said, does that have anything to do with the fact that Konim do the Avoda barefoot? No. Anyway. No, I mean, you see what the Gemara mentions here. The Gemara doesn't say anything like that. So it doesn't sound like that's the issue. Okay. Now, all right, what's up for...
Okay. Two things. So you said when they lift their hands... then the shoes become visible, but isn't that exactly when you're not supposed to be looking that way anyway, when they're lifting their hands and doing the bracha?
Yeah, so Yosef says you can't look at their hands, but you can look at their feet.
Is that really true?
I mean, that's also true, but we'll
over there. All right.
It could be, I think they lift their hands and then they turn around. So it might be even before they turn around that you can see the boots with the dirt on it, you know, things like that. I don't know. All right, what else?
And the other thing is when the Ben Grusha, the Ben Chalutza is there, and he's a halal, does he go up to the Dukhan?
No.
That's so why would you think
he's a halal? In other words, the Gemara is saying, the reason he's not duchening, not because he's got the shoelace that's broken, he's really Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So
but
we
then
don't
want to be on the duchen anyway.
He's not a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, but he's stepping off the duchen to
he's
fix it.
People don't want to think that because even if he was, he wouldn't be up there.
No, but he's stepping down off the duchen, and so people say the reason he stepped off is really pasul. All right, I got to move on. We're running out of time. And okay, welcome. Okay.
Yosef understands me.
Is it because the issue is that if a person will come to try to untie the shoes and not going to make the duchan, they'll think he's not a real kohen.
I don't know why the Syrians don't do it. Okay, like let me give you further.
Listen,
I have to. We're running out of time now. No questions for a bit, and then we'll talk. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay, Memam and Aleph. The bottom line. Okay. Now, Mikdash bracha kabbalah. We said in the base of Mikdash, they would do one bracha, meaning they would not interrupt the bracha with amen. Because in the base of Mikdash, you don't say amen after a bracha. So turn the page. So the Gemara says, so why is it that the Gulen we have three brachot, and in the base of Mikdash, only one bracha? The Pisha ain't only amen but Mikdash, but they don't say amen in the base of Mikdash. So the Gemara is going to quote Sukim, and we'll see in a minute. So Tana Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa, Minayin Shin Onin Amein the Mikdash. How do we know that they would not say Amein in the base of Mikdash? Shneemar, Kumu Barchu Et Hashem Elokeichem Min Ha'olam B'yad Ha'olam. So this is really, this first part of the Braisa is really speaking about the Nusach of the Brach on the base of Mikdash. Let's look at the Rashi, the second wide line of the Rashi. Kumu Barchu Et Hashem Elokeichem Min Ha'olam B'yad Ha'olam. The Sefer Ezra too. This Pasuk is in Sefer Ezra. They had a more elaborate form for the brachot in the base of Mikdash. In other words, when they would have the brachot, they wouldn't say Baruch Hashem Magen Abraham. They say Baruch Hashem Elokei Israel, or they wouldn't say Ata. Baruch Hashem Elokei Israel Min Ha'olam Yad Olam Magen Abraham. Then back in the Gemara, Aminayim Shal Po Bracho Bracha Tehila. How do we know that they had a response on each bracha? Shneimar v'ivarchu shem kodecha umromam ofo brachu tila ofo bracha bracha tenlo tila. Let's see, look Rashi and hold off with questions, and I will talk. He says on the second arrow line, v'ivarchu shem kodecha ushar ham yanu baruch shem kol mafuta lavaed sham onin lahali al lohodo. There was in the base of it didn't say amen. It said baruch shem kol mafuta lavaed. So now Tosfos is going to ask, so why can't we have three brachot then? So we'll say, so what is the Gemara answering? So why can't I have the first bracha? I'm not going to say Amen. We don't say Amen in the base of Mikdash, meaning it's greater kavod to have this fancier answer. That's one way to understand it. But after they say bracha shemish bracha, then everybody can say bracha shemish bracha, and the same thing with the other ones. So there's a couple of answers for this, and I want to do Tosfos, and we really got to run. So the Tosfos got to the search that the phrase Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael was not inserted in Pesukim Birchas Kohanim. In other words, first is the when they said the brachot, they didn't say Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael. It's forbidden for Kohen to add the three blessings designated by the Torah Baal Tosfos. Since the long version of the brachot was not used in Birchas Kohanim, the base of Mikdash, the long response Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael was also not used. The written Tosfos says, nevertheless, the main response is also not used because sages do not want to make exceptions to the general rule in Onim Mikdash. Thus, no response at all was used in response to Birchas Kohanim in the base of Mikdash. So the Tosfos Yantav says, yeah, they had a fancy response. If you have a fancy bracha, you have a fancy response. Not a fancy bracha, no fancy response. So that's the way Tosfos takes it. Now, that's the way Tosfos Yantav has it. Now, there's a Tosfos here, which I hope to do with you, but it looks like we're running out of time. So I think I'm just going to synopsize it. So Tosfos asks, again, about Baruch Shem Kumochut Olam Va'ed. So he says, in the base of Mikdash, they would say Baruch Shem Kumukut Olam Va'ed. So Tosfos says they would say Baruch Shem Kumukut Olam Va'ed when they heard the Shem Hashem. In other words, they didn't say it after the bracha. It was they hear the Shem Hashem pronounced, they say Baruch Shem Kumukut Olam Va'ed. And then the Kohanim are waiting until everybody says, like they say, Yibarech Ata Hashem. Then everybody says Baruch Shem Kumukut Olam Va'ed. So then there's no break between the bracha. That's the way Tosfos basically learns. Now, he quotes here, alternatively, the Brisker Rav suggests Baruch Shem was not said as the response after hearing Hashem's name. It was recited at the same time the Hashem's name was pronounced. He infers this from the wording of the Rambam, who writes that in connection with the Yom Kippur service, the Kohen Gadol should complete the pronunciation of Hashem's name at the same time the response is complete the recital of Baruch Shem. In the Musaf, on Yom Kippur, it says, that the people would complete their sentence with the Shem Hashem. So he says, therefore, even though those listening to the Birchas Kohanim base picture said Baruch Shem, no need for the Kohanim to pause, since Baruch Shem was said simultaneous pronunciation of Hashem's name. So either way, though, there's nothing else. Okay, now I got to run. Let me finish the daf, and then we'll talk, okay? So now the next Mishnah. Okay, Manitin. Now, brachot Kohen Gadol. So Mishnah said that another thing that has to be said Lashon Kodesh are the brachot of the Kohen Gadol. So Manisim brachot Kohen Gadol Ketzad. So this is going about the priest of Torah on Yom Kippur. And this same Mishnah was in the Sefet Yoma, or it was quoted in the Sefet Yoma. I don't look it up today, but I remember from the Sefet Yoma. Chazan HaKnesset no tell Sefer Torah, but not know the Rosh HaKnesset. The Chazan HaKnesset is the Shamus. He's the one who's, you know, takes care of he says all the tirchos, and he submits the tevas, and everything spread properly on it. So the Shamus, he takes the Sefer Torah, he gives the Rosh HaKnesset to we Ashkenazim in Lithuania frequently pronounce the Shin as a sin. So now you know. So they say Shamus, okay?
Shamus.
Okay, so let's take a look. I think Shabbos is a little different. It's the shin becomes the sin. But they said, like in Lithuania, instead of fish, they say fish. Okay, anyway. So anyway, he says here, we don't know the Rosh HaKnesset. He would give it to the Gabbai. The Rosh HaKnesset knows the Skan. And then the Gabbai would give the Sefer Torah to the coin, the one who's the understudy. He says, the Skan known to the Kohen Gadol. The Skan would give it to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol omeid umekabel b'korei. The Kohen Gadol would stand up, receive it, and then he would read from the Torah, Achrimot, which we had recently. And he says, ba'af be'asor. Then, from Achrimot, he would go to Parshas Emor and read just like yesterday or some Shabbos Kriya about Yom Kippur. The Golel Torah, then he wraps up the Sefer Torah. I mean, that Chabachito, he puts it in his chest. But Omer, and he, the Kohen Gadol, would say, yet you must read the Dechem Tupan. He says, there's more in the Sefer Torah, but I'm going to read it by heart. And then, in other words, the Sefer Torah has it, but I'm not going to take time to roll it. It's not a kavod to see. But now, this is the point of luck that you have from here. We don't want him to be motzi laz, that there's anything missing from the Sefer Torah. But if you look at Rashi, 8 lines above where it gets wide, he says, "Below you go leil sefer Torah l'sham nishu rafok." You shouldn't roll it. There's a distance to roll. V'yishahut shev sikman targim yishtorikul b'hem v'yimachil pasuk afar v'yigunai. In other words, it's a gunai for the seabird to wait while when you're rolling sefer Torah. So sometimes, you know, it could be on a yontiv, especially, you know, people have a choice between rolling sefer Torah before davening or, you know, thinking, well, the people can wait. We'll roll it right before during priest's Torah. So the Sefer Torah should be rolled beforehand. I think Rav Shakta has this in one of his writings. Okay, so back in the Gemara, and I got to run now. He said, please, he says, Umavarech ala shmona brachot. Mishnah, the Kohen recites 8 brachot. Ala Torah. First is Ashen Lam Taratamet, bracha krona. Yal ha'avodah. He recites the avodah, which is the bracha britzei, but his fatima is sh'ot palavam pabiran avod. He says, Yal ha'odayan. Then he recites modim. Yal mechilat ha'avod. So Mechilat Avon, he has the middle bracha of Shmona Esrei from Yom Kippur, which is, you know, a type of partanu. And then he says, he says, Bial HaMikdash, he has a bracha of the Mikdash, Baruch HaShir B'char B'Mikdash, Bial Yisrael, a bracha of the Klal Yisrael, Baruch HaBukher B'Yom Yisrael, and then Bial HaKohanim, a bracha for the Kohanim, he says, and then Bial Yerushalayim, a bracha for Yerushalayim, he says, Bahashar Tefillah. Now, it's tricky because he mentions 9 brachot here, if Shar Tefillah. So it could be one way, a Hashar Tefillah to mean, and there's other Tefillah that will be said with the bracha, and that's not part of the 8, that's one way. Or it could be that the Girsa would be Bial Shar Tefillah. He could have, as some say, that he wouldn't say a bracha for Yerushalayim. Okay, now let me do the Gemara, and I'll pause, and then we'll go. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Shamina chokin kabbalatam nakamurav." Now, the chokin in the Gemara, let's say you have the Rebbe, and the Rebbe is with 3 talmidim, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Okay, the Rebbe will call Moshe Rabbeinu. So we have Moshe Rabbeinu with Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Is Levi allowed to show kavod for Shimon? Let's say Reuven is the top notch talmid. Shimon is the second notch, and Levi is the third notch. Is Levi allowed to show kavod to Shimon in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu? So it's about folk in the Gemara, where the folk in kavod l'tam, makom rav. So, but from this Mishnah, it sounds like it could, because they're giving it's kavod. I give first, the Mishnah says that the Chazan HaKnesset, the Shamus, is giving the Sefer Torah to the Gabbai, and the Gabbai is giving it to the Skan. So Shamas is being the Chabad the Gabbai, beginning the Sefer Torah. And then the Gabbai is being the Chabad the Skan Kohen Gadol. And Skan Kohen Gadol is the Chabad the Kohen Gadol. So it sounds like it could. So he says, Shamas mina focus on the Tavon Kobrav. Amar Abai, Kulim Shem Kohen the Kohen Gadol. Abai says, it's not Mukhar from this Mishnah. Because the ultimate purpose of giving it, even the Shamas giving it to the Gabbai, is to show how exalted the Kohen Gadol is. And he's on top of this whole period, like this whole hierarchy. So even the Shamas giving to the Gabbai in this instance is a way of giving Kabbal to the Kohen Gadol. It's not Mufrach that Tana holds that fucking Kabbal to Tana from Rav. Okay, the Kohen Gadol made him a Kabbal to Korah B'Kulah. The Kohen Gadol stands up and lanes. So Omei B'Kal Yoshevu. So the fact that he stands up, presumably he must have been sitting beforehand. But we have a statement in the Gemara that nobody's allowed to sit in the courtyard of the base of Mikdash. Except for Malchay Beis David, he says, "Shenemar vayavo Malchay vayeshul tnei Hashem vayomer miyanochi begomer." The David Melch came. Now there wasn't the basic Mikdash time of David Melch, but there was an equivalent like Mishkan, and he sat down in the place which would be the Azara, and then he stood up before Hashem. I say he came, he sat before Hashem. He said, "Who am I to build the basic Mikdash?" So the Gemara says, so "What does it mean that the Kohen Gadol is sitting?" Kida Amar of Chista beEzrat Hashem. Like what Pisa says elsewhere, which we're going to see in 2 seconds, that it's talking about Ezra's Nashim, here too Ezra's Nashim. So Ezra's Nashim, I don't have the floor plan of the base of Mikdash, but in the base of Mikdash, you have one section, like through the Shari Nikanor, where there'll be Ezra's Strel, Ezra's Kohenim, and you have the whole Katz, and you have the whole Azara there, and then you have the Kodesh Nashim, but then outside you have the Ezra's Nashim. So in the Ezra's Nashim, it doesn't have the Kedusha of the base of Mikdash. It's like the Kedusha of the Har HaBayit. So when it says, that means that the previous Torah was taking place in Ezra's Nashim. So sure, you could. He says, Hakanam Ezra's Nashim. Now, we have Meitei, but if you look at the Aleph, he says it should be the Tanya. The Hechan Karinbo. Now, this is talking about the Hakel. Once every 7 years, the Melech reads portions of Sefer Devarim. Hechan Karinbo. Where does he read it? Ba'azara. So the Tanakhama says in the Azara, before in the court, the base of Mikdash, the Lizmi Yaakovir Bahar Abayit says Bahar Abayit outside the base of Mikdash. Shenamar, Beit Bravo, Lithni Harapo, Lithni Shar Habayit. The Pasuk seems to say that it was outside. But the main thing is, you see the Tanakhama holds the Azara. So concerning that, Amrav Chista be Ezra Nashim. But this says, when it says, when Tanakhama said Ba'azara, he meant the Ezra's Nashim. That's where we're going to do it.
That's where you just said that.
Yeah, that's where it was. Okay, now, I have 60 seconds for questions. Otherwise, I'm going to do a little piece here. Okay.
You mentioned something regarding the Kohanim who are taking the shoes off. That it is resembling going in the Benemstash. It runs it down.
Good, what? Say again.
The question that...
Yeah, right.
Over here, it does allude to it.
Well, let me see what it says. Point. Let me see. Okay, so Daniel says, somebody says it is some... Let me see.
Yes.
Okay. He says what you were saying, Rafi. He says this is from the Hebrew article. It says Yesho. Okay, he says Yesho Sif Talim Sechlis Talim Zeber Tonim. He may ain a vote of Mikdash. It's like similar to the vote of the Mikdash. Brave Mikdash Shemshu Tonim Shem Yechetim. The moral Katsia says this. So Amnam Bishet Siyanu Baharak Demet Akonim Olam Duchanim Garbayim. But konim duchim with socks, the base of Mikdash, they were absolutely barefoot. So it doesn't fit in so well. In other words, so it doesn't fit in. No. But I'm saying, even with that reason, he's saying it doesn't wear it against so well. Otherwise, you have to go barefoot. Okay. Any other questions, comments, and thoughts? Okay. I'm going to think.
Yeah. When you have a student, the rabbi is never jealous of the student. Anytime you give his student kavod, you go to the Rebbe ultimately. So why is there a difference between this?
No. But it's not. Is the Talmud not showing proper kavod for the Rebbe? They're giving kavod to the student where the Rebbe is. Okay. Now, all right. I have a story about the Chafetz Chaim. Then we got to run. Okay. Today's talk discusses the humility of Rebbe Bau. Humility has always been a major focus of a truly great among us. For Shmuel Rozovsky, came the venerable Chafetz Chaim's visit to a town when he was a young man. In 5685, 1925, the Chafetz Chaim decided to travel to Israel. Although the plan did not come to fruition, the Chafetz Chaim was very adamant when it came to his spiritual goals, and none predicted that this particular one would not work out. Since he was leaving, he decided to pay a final visit to the nearby town of Eishishik. The town was very beloved to him since he had learned there was a youth 80 years before. When people heard that Gedolah was coming to pay a final visit, they were understandably very excited. All of Aishuk took to the road a ways out of town so that people would be able to meet in the square of Chofetz Chaim to town if it's one of his stature. I mean, one of my rebbeim, Rav Yaakov Bobrovsky, said he saw the Chofetz Chaim once. He said he came to a train station and said there was a big crowd of people. He saw him. Okay, anyway, Rav Brzovsky continued, when his ragged finally came, everyone rejoiced, and we all started walking back to town with him. When the Chofetz Chaim saw me, this is Rav Brzovsky, he asked that I climb into the wagon with him, a request which I readily complied. When I climbed in, I noticed to my surprise, but I almost said just crying. I immediately asked why. He replied, I'm crying because of this great honor the town folk have seen fit to bestow upon me. As you know, Yerushalmi says, if one who knows only one tractate gets honor for two, he must tell them they made a mistake. I'm not worthy of this honor, and he continued to weep. He says, I tried to calm him in many ways, but my words failed to have any impact until I finally said, if Birchas Kodesh, we ask for Chaim of Osher B'Chavot, wealth and honor. It seems very difficult since one must flee from honor. The resolution to this is the very same prayer, Chaim She'yesh Behem Abba Torah B'Yer Shemayim. As we find in Yerushalmi and Kedushin, though the honor bestowed on Tamid HaChamim, people's love of Torah and fear of heaven is increased. In other words, wealth and honor. In other words, if you'll give that to the Tamid HaChamim, so then you'll have more Abbas Torah and Yerut Shemayim. I conclude, you should not weep. On the contrary, you should rejoice. Through this honor, the Yerut Shemayim Abbas Torah of a multitude of people is being strengthened. Only then did he break into a smile. Such was the humility of Chofetz Chaim, a person who never thought of self. Honor on his own made him weep, but if it served the community, it made him rejoice. Okay, I gotta end this. Wait, I gotta end this one.